Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Jessie May, the Sharp Tongue Podcast in your ear. I am standing in my hotel room looking out at some lagoon in Miami and wondering how these people survive in this. It's not even heat as much as it is moisture. It's moist. I'm going to say that word again right in your ear and make you cringe. It's moist. Boy, it's dank. It's rude. Really, the weather in Miami is just downright rude. I can't explain it any other way. It's offensive to the lady bits. My lady parts have not been able to acclimate. They're crying. I'm crying from crevices that I don't even know had tear ducts. It's not even a duck. It's a whole goddamn, it's a flock of geese. A tear flock of geese. It's not a duct. I know it's a, is it a duck or a duct? I feel like it's tear duct with like duct tape, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's duck as in bird and my joke still works. Maybe it's not and I completely failed. Either way, I'm sweating from areas that I wasn't even aware could leak. Yep, it's duct. I looked it up. It's duct. Yes. Whew, man. That public schooling still hanging on, still making it work, because you guys know I was school bused to a special school. And if you didn't know that, now you know. Not only are you fortunate enough to be listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast, it is hosted by a genius. That's right, I am a genius. I was school bused to a special school every week. I talked about it on my Weeds Day. Please check out my Weeds Day live broadcast every Wednesday. New time, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. I go live on Instagram and Facebook Live and talk a lot of trash. You know, we have fun. I blaze up and I raise awareness for Alzheimer's. I either bring awareness to Hilarity for Charity or to the Alzheimer's Association or both, depending on the week. And I was talking about how I was school bused when my mom was on a couple weeks ago. And she was like, school bused? Hun. Rude. Nancy with her box wine being rude. Judging me. She knows I'm special. She knows I'm gifted. She just couldn't handle it. And now the sun's back out in Miami. God damn it. It was raining 5 seconds ago. It made me come back inside. This is Florida weather. It pours and then everything's fine. Everything's back to fucking normal. All the alligators are, you know, they receded back into the freaking rivers. I saw an alligator. The shows have been amazing. Excuse me. I just smoked a little bit of marijuana, so there's a little bit of tickle in my throat. The shows were amazing. We had a sold-out show in Key West. Thank you so much to everybody who came out. We had a sold-out show in Miami for the Have Nots comedy show. It was so much damn fun. I got a little sunburned. I got a little windburned, moist. I'm still damp. How many times can I say moist on this podcast? Podcast. Wow, the Syracuse accent really came out in that little moment for us. I'm going to be in Albany June 7th, 8th, and 9th at the Albany Funny Bone. I will be on Confetti again, Facebook's live trivia show, basically Facebook's version of HQ. It's on Facebook Live. That's June 21st. I will be hosting all day and raising awareness for Alzheimer's that day as well on the show. And where else am I going to be? July. There's some dates in July. I'm going to be actually in Montreal for the Just for Laughs Festival. All the nasty shows. So if you're going to be in that area or if you're looking to take a road trip, the Just for Laughs Festival is so damn fun. All the comedians from all over come into one area and cry. We all commiserate. No, it's a fun time. It's a legendary festival. Jupori, that's Just for Laughs. Montreal, the 17th of July through the 26th. I will be there for the entire festival, broadcasting live, podcasting, doing shows, causing drama, and I'll also be eating a lot of poutine. Excited about that. Omaha, I'll be back in your town August 8th, 9th, 10th at the Omaha Funny Bone. Check it out. Come check us out. Come have a good time. I'm also going to be, some other dates in September. I'm going to be going through Pennsylvania, a couple colleges there. I'm also going to be at the House of Comedy, I think. Where the hell am I going to be? A bunch of college gigs. October, I'm going to be in Arizona. I'm going to be in Minnesota. Go to jessiemay.com for tickets, y'all. And come see me live. Come laugh it off. I'm a good time. I guarantee you a good time. And I guarantee you're going to learn something new about yourself, about your coochie, about your penis, about your relationship, and about what's missing. I'm like the poor girl's Tony Robbins. That's what I've been called, and that's what I'm dubbing myself because of what people say to me after the show. So basically, if you can't afford a real life coach, come see me. I'll make you laugh through all of your problems. Speaking of making you laugh, this podcast is a special Swapcast episode. I love to do these once in a while when I get to go on my friend's podcast or their shows. I just save the recording because it ends up being so much fun that I want to share it with you guys. And this is another episode that I got to record with Tully on the Tully Show on Sirius XM. He's one of my favorite dudes. Well, you know, I don't know about favorite. He's working his way up. I'm not going to give out these free compliments that just aren't real anymore. You know, he's not my best friend. He's not one of my favorites, but he's almost there. I'm getting to know him, and the more I get to know him, the more I realize he's not going to murder me. He's just a little dead inside, like all of us, and that makes me endeared to him. I hope you guys enjoy this episode of the Jessie Mae Sharp Tongue Podcast presents The Tully Show from Sirius XM with the glorious, slightly serial killerish Mike Tully. Cerebral. Well, you figure it out. I'm going to go smoke the rest of this joint. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Okay, you ready to start this show? Your host of the evening is a really funny dude. I forgot his last name, but I've seen him before, and he's really funny. Give it up for Mike.
Coming to you live on tape from the lucky 13th floor of a commercial high-rise in beautiful Beverly Hills, adjacent California. From the studios of Sirius XM West, boasting an obstructed view of the world-famous Hollywood sign, this is The Tully Show. I am your host, Mike Tully. Joining me once again this week, returning from parts unknown, the people's champ, Jessie Mae Peluso.
Am I really the people's champ, or is that just, are you just saying that to make me feel good?
Well, I gotta say something.
A, and B, in that opening...
People like you.
I think they do. And if they don't, you know, that's fine as well. If you're living for the likes of strangers, you're just going to be, you know, living a lonely life.
Well.
This microphone smells like Mark McGrath.
He has that effect on microphones.
He really does. He probably is really good at putting a scent on medical equipment. Or, I mean, technical equipment.
What the fuck?
Not medical. Technical.
It's very pheromone-y.
Yeah. Very pheromone-y.
Apparently debunked, by the way, pheromones. Not real.
According to who?
Well, who said that they worked in the first place?
But you're just making a statement.
They did a study on, they like, I think they had like people jerk off and then they like waved t-shirts in front of their nose, and some of them had been worn by Bruce Springsteen and some of them hadn't.
Fucker. I'm sitting here like,
no, it's
what are,
something like that.
What
true.
Are you
no,
talking
something
about?
Like true. They tried. They put people in simulated sexual situations and tried to wave pheromones in front of them and wave placebos in front of them to see if their sexual excitement was enhanced. And apparently, there was no pheromone effect.
But aren't pheromones? They're not just linked to sexual stuff. Like, don't
like babies give off pheromones. Aren't there fear pheromones? I mean, essentially, those it's
are,
just a
those
warm.
Are, those are, yeah, hormones.
But pheromones are hormones.
So you give off a scent. Okay.
Like each has its own
there's,
little
there's
lane.
A fear. There's a fear smell.
Right. I emit it all the time.
Since I've been in stand-up, I've become way more acquainted with my own.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. What does yours smell like? Bergamot and like rosemary?
It's just a more manly scent. Like, cause I have pretty good BO. I'm one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, me too.
Where I can smell and you can smell me, and unless you just really like hate me, it's a smell you can roll with.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
My fear BO is more like, God, I need to upgrade to a better gym.
Is it just like dusty taint?
It's just,
musty, dusty taint.
I might be getting a bit of it now.
There's no way. Fine. I'm sniffing your...
I wasn't going to...
Your good BO.
I was never going to ask you to smell anything.
Your fear pheromones. But so there's like fear pheromones. I feel like babies give off a chemical reaction for sure.
That's supposedly a thing. I think we're talking about there's different scents that people give off because of different hormones. I believe pheromones are just the supposed
like sex.
Yeah. But babies have that thing, which I've never totally got. I love my...
Oh, God.
You do get it?
It's something switched in the past like year or two. Like I'm just sniffing babies now. I'm just like putting my nose in the crown of babies.
Mine just
strangers.
Like, there's so much. They're always like a little vomity.
Aren't we all?
No. Mm-mm.
You've never hung around 22-year-old girls at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's all
a little vomity.
We're all vomity sometimes. Babies are always a little. It's very.
I guess you're
like,
right.
You got to really catch them out of the bath.
Right out of the bath, or like, I guess yeah. First thing in the morning is like you get a amalgamation of a potpourri of scents in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, pheromones are not. But Mark McGrath's are real.
Yeah, I can smell them. Yeah. I walked in on your interview.
You did.
I did.
It was great. The on-air light means nothing.
I know. I didn't even see it. I was just like, I'm just going to walk into this dark closet.
This is the nice studio.
I've never done that. It's such a nice studio. I've never.
This is the good one. You should see the closet. I've never stuck you in the closet here before.
No, how dare you? I've never been shoved in the closet.
I've done.
That's funny.
Some really bad interviews. I get superstitious about. I like this room, but I also feel like I'm the master of this domain. I'm on my heels.
Yeah, you feel good here. You're on your throne.
There's other ones where I can tell. I've had some real fear, and it's a very small room to get the fear stink in.
Oh, man, and then it just circulates in the air.
When you ask Tony Shalhoub a question, he's like, that wasn't even English. And you're like, you know what? You're right, Tony Shalhoub. But we're stuck in here for 20 more minutes, so let's make the best of it.
Has Stamos walked by these halls?
No, I haven't seen Stamos since that one time.
You're so fucking lucky. I cannot believe you. I'm still not over it. That is one thing I will hold against you for as long as I know you.
Yeah, it's funny too because you know that I did realize like moments before you got here that you had that obsession and
obsession?
Yeah.
Is that what we're calling it?
For sure. And and I had to, and I'm still not sure that I made the wrong call. Go.
Wow.
This means I either need to tell you he's here or I need to make it my business to make sure that you don't know that
he's here. Wow. Wow.
And then I actually watched him. It's so funny.
You watched
him
walk.
The layout of where we're sitting right now, that I have a view that you do not have.
And I saw a person walk by and I was like, I know
that
smell.
That magnificent shadow.
I know that fear smell.
Yeah.
I know that those Stamos pheromones, he probably smells like fresh yogurt in a field. Just like a field, like a Mediterranean field, seaside field.
Little dill.
Yeah, little dill.
Salt air, but not fishy.
Yeah, like not fishy at all. And like just like a little bit of tzatziki. Just a
musky hint of hero.
A musky hint of hero.
Hero.
Have you been on stage since the last time I saw you? I know you have a Tuesday
show. What, has it been like 3 months now?
It's been so long. I've been gone. I have only been here for like 6 days.
Yeah, I get up on stage once a week at my dumb little show, and then I get little spots here and there where I could get
them. Why do you say my dumb little show?
Because sometimes nobody shows up.
That don't mean it dumb.
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make it good.
Well, yeah, based off of what?
We've had some good ones. Like when you say, I'm not even going to bother going up because I don't even want to just do this shit for a handful of other hacky comedians like myself.
But we've had
some good ones. My stand-up is in as good a place as it's... I'm I'm doing okay. Yeah. I did a show in Santa Barbara that was my best one yet.
And where was that at?
Dude, it was, I thought we were doing it at a brewery.
Which is always dangerous.
But we weren't. The brewery would have been fine. I love it. I'll go back there for sure. I'll take any excuse to go to Santa Barbara.
I'm impressed with your ability to say brewery so brewery? Seamlessly.
So, but it wasn't. It was in the brewery, put it together, but did it next door to the brewery. And mind you, there was like nobody in the brewery while we were in the room next door, which was really, it was incredibly narrow. Like there were 50 people in it, and that was definitely beyond the legal capacity of the room.
Right.
And it was really like long ways. So you were talking to the wall, which was only maybe like 8 feet away from you. And there's a big mirror on it.
Oh, that's weird. So you can see yourself.
So I'm talking to the most natural line of sight is for me to look straight ahead at myself in the mirror. But there's like a line of two rows going all the way from the left to all the way to the right. And then a little.
That's
remember
strange.
The dog pound on Arsenio Hall show? Like,
Yeah.
And then there's like a little dog pound on the side.
That's weird.
And when the show was over, no, I loved it. And when the show was over, I saw that they were moving the chairs out and putting kids like playthings back in there. And I think it's a very small daycare.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Of all places for me, definitely not to do stand up would definitely be a child's.
Yeah. With all
a
those
place where there's children,
all those child pheromones.
That reminded me of a show I did similar, like room configuration. Was it this place called City Winery in New York City? Mm-hmm. And it's a smaller room, long room, same thing. You're looking straight and it's so shallow that the wall is just like, it's so close in front of you and everyone's spread out on either side. There's no stage. Behind me are vats of wine, like all of those huge, you know, where the wine is essentially being made. And on the other side of the wall, what I'm staring into is a main room. And that particular night, I was on a showcase show. I was headlining it. There was like four comics and me in the smaller room, like 50 people in this room. And on the other side was this main room, and Paula Poundstone was in that room.
Uh-huh.
Headlining. And it was like 300 people. And there was one door separating each room that the servers used. But each time they opened the door, the sound would just pollute itself. It would come in and mine would go out and vice versa. And so if there were a quiet part in my show and a loud part in her show, it literally sounded like they were laughing in my room. That's how much the sound bled into the room. Mm-hmm. And so much so that I was, you know, I tried to not be bothered by it. And then out of nowhere, Paula Poundstone comes through that door with her microphone. She had a cordless microphone.
Uh-huh.
And she comes in and she's like, well, I don't know what this room was. She's doing her show. Her audience can't see because they're still in the other room. She leaves the stage, comes through the server door, and is like, what is going on in here? And I was just like, holy fuck, you're Paula Poundstone. And she's like, yeah, and you are funny. I can hear you're funny because during the most pivotal parts of my jokes.
Oh, so you're pissing each other off.
Your audience is laughing.
Yeah.
And we're fucking each other's timing up. She's like, I just had to come in here and see who the fuck was in this funny ass closet.
That's as a veteran of many of the small broom closets at the side of comedy venues, it's really, really it's one thing to bomb. It's another thing to bomb while you can hear somebody crushing.
Yes.
Like 3 inches of drywall away.
Yeah. And then you have to make a note of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that was so, I have a video of her coming in and being like, I had to see what the fuck was going on in this closet. And then she hit on me.
Did things got weird with her for a second? Did that just go away?
I mean, she had an alcohol issue, I think.
I thought there was a thing with
was there a new thing?
I thought there was like kids.
Mm-hmm. That was years ago. I think she might have had a little bit of too much of alcohol and went for a drive with the kids.
Oh, okay.
Could have been something like that. And I think she might have lost temporary custody.
They were like adopted.
They're adopted, yeah. I mean, you know.
She's a lesbian? Is that what? Is it?
She was that night.
I see.
No, she is. She is for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely by the jackets.
It's so funny how we always talk about the closeted guys who, you know, 80s, 70s, what have you.
Yeah.
Who were really just acting gay, but they never mentioned it. So adults in the room knew what was going on. But the lesbians of the time weren't allowed to act like lesbians. They more dressed and acted like they were maybe commanders of Star Trek ships.
I thought you were going to say something more serious.
You know what I mean?
You mean like Spock's crew?
Like Kate Mulgrew. Is that a person?
Is that a person.
You know what I mean?
We don't ever talk about the sexless closeted lesbians.
No, we don't.
We don't. And there's another area where women are repressed.
Yeah, I have all these jokes about lesbians that I don't have the guts to do.
Why not?
Because I've done stuff in front of gay people who are like, no. Like,
well, fuck
shut
them.
Up.
Anybody who comes to a show and says no, you obviously misread Comedy Club for church. Go to church.
No.
Yes.
I disagree.
So you think we can allow people to get offended?
No. I think that it's not about offended. I've always thought that the further you go out on a limb, you just need to be good. If you're going to talk about what's the deal with you guys ever get high and eat a bunch of Girl Scout cookies, you don't really need to be that good because you're in safe territory. And as soon as you start tiptoeing into people's sensitive areas and cry spots, you need to
cry spots. Okay, but
you need to deliver the goods. And if I'm not delivering the goods, then it's okay.
I get what you're saying.
Pete Holmes sat where you're sitting right now and
gross.
Told me about how. What's wrong with him?
I've seen him steal a joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But we can move on.
And told me that so much of what it's about is you're playing chicken with the audience.
Yeah, I agree to that.
Who are you going to make blink? And I don't have the faith in my. I frankly don't possess the ability to go after. Like, I love like a Sam Tripoli who can go after people where they don't want to be. Gone after, and he can make them laugh and he can win them over.
Do you know why he can?
Why?
You tell me why you think he can. Why do you think Sam can do what he does? Looking the way he does. As a white man, he there's no subject.
Yeah, white adjacent.
He's off. that's off, you know,
yeah.
Limits to him. So why do you think he can, in your opinion? And then I'll tell you what I think.
I think it's because he is, people think he's coming from a good-natured place, and even if he is talking about taboo stuff, he was going after some gay couple at this show I did the other night, and basically the two guys looked exactly alike, and he's just talking about how they were dating each other. People know he's good-natured. I mean, this is just kind of shit I've sort of gleaned about how comedy works. He's already set himself up as like the butt of jokes, so he's not looking down on people.
Right.
I'm an asshole, so I can call you. I can make fun of little asshole elements of you because
yes.
I'm just an asshole.
Right.
And I think because he has a really big, he's got really good energy. He's really confident on stage, really comfortable on stage. He's seen it all, and he has a bag of tricks that at his disposal that he can work his way through that are very apt to work to allow him to achieve that.
Right.
And I have like none of those things.
Well, do you know, you're absolutely 100% about right. You're right about all that. One thing you're missing, his conviction.
Yeah, right.
Like,
but I don't think conviction is something you can fake. Well, maybe some people
can. It is. It's all, most, it's not that you fake it. I mean, you take a comedian like Robin Williams, who had his energy over and over and over and over. He recreated that energy over and over and over. Was it fake? Or did he just get really good at recreating energy? I mean, obviously, you mix in the recipe of his talent level, some cocaine during those years, and, you know, his ability to just be in the moment, that provides that sort of result. But essentially, it's an act. You know, and I think someone like Sam Tripoli, and to the effect of what you're saying about your lesbian jokes, if you go up there and say it with conviction, without wavering, in that you believe it, that you believe what you're saying, you can say anything you want.
I agree with all that. And someday I will.
You will.
Yeah.
I've seen you. And to the effect of good, dude, I've seen every, and you, I'm sure you have too, every big comedian fucking fail because you can't, you aren't good until you're good, and the only way to get that way is in front of people. So essentially every joke sucks at some point.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I've gotten way better I feel like I'm over the first critical hump of where I don't know if I'd feel great about 400 people who paid good money screaming at me that I suck. I don't know that I'm necessarily in that, but like to get up in a little club at my show in LA and have people not laugh at stuff, I'm perfectly comfortable with
that. And that's good. You know, that's
a cool place to be. It is a huge hump.
That's a huge hump.
Right.
And you know, it's not that you don't care. It's that you're like, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
You know exactly. You're going to get through it.
And it can actually be sort of enjoyable in a weird way. Enjoyable, and that's another thing Pete Holmes told me sitting here was, if you're enjoying your own jokes, if you legitimately think that you're being funny, then it's great if other people want to join in on that.
Yeah.
But when you, because you can see people sometimes when they put it out there and they're like, oh, idiot, you knew that wasn't funny and you still fucking said it.
It's so awkward.
You can't win when you do that, you know? When you're just like, that's great that you don't agree, but I happen to think that what I just said is really, really funny. I'm not angry at you, but like, okay, we'll just move on here. That's
you
a
have
very,
to think what you're saying is funny.
It's nice. The fear stink lessens quite a bit.
That's
I can occasionally have one of those and still not have like the nasty sweaty pits when I get off.
Dude, and it's gonna
when you're sweating in the cold.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you literally have your
it's raw
freezing
animal fear.
And you're sweating. It has nothing to do with temperature. It only has to do with your insides freaking out. It's all purely mentally, you know, originated up here.
No.
But I feel like I was talking with Rogan a couple weeks ago. We were talking about comedy, and he's like, he said something to the to us talking about like having it all figured out. You know, like as far as stand up goes, and he's like, I don't have it figured out. Anyone who says they've got it figured out is lying. Like, we're all just sort of figuring it out as we go.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that can truly be mastered.
Well, it's a moving target.
It is.
Right.
It's an evolving thing, and I think that's why it's become so enticing for people. You know, stand up and like just getting those laughs. For me, it's not even about like, it's about connecting. It really is. I was trying to figure that out. Like, why am I doing this? Especially, like, just going through everything that I've been through. You know, it, figuring out if this is, like, am I sticking with this? Is this what I want to do? And it truly is based off of the sole aspect of connecting with people on my ideas and my thoughts. I think it's something that's really, it can be a powerful tool, and it can be something that really helps people, as cheesy and simple as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that about myself in my stand-up, that, you know, if I can, like, affect a couple people in a positive way, especially through some dark shit, that feels pretty good.
Have you thought about, you must have, if you decided the juice was no longer worth the squeeze and you wanted to get out of the industry, what you would?
I'd raise llamas. Hmm.